because of what you've done for us. How awesome you are, how wonderful you are. How precious you are, Lord Jesus. Father, tonight as we go into your word, I pray that it would be that we are worshiping you as well. It's not just a word, but it's a word straight from heaven. Pray, Father, that you anoint my lips. Pray, Father, you anoint this word. Anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So, Father, might your love ever be present as we share this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. While the worship team are standing down, I'd like you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And I'm going to begin to read from verse 19. In actual fact, it's almost in the middle of the story of the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. But as I share this with you tonight, I believe that there's much for us to learn. I must admit, as I put it together, it came to me just how short we are falling in our walk with God. But let's start. I'm going to read from John 4, verse 19. Start reading there. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now has come, that true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. Look, this is just something that just struck me so. For many years I've looked at this and I've been making it go over in my head many times. This time I believe that the Holy Spirit has just prompted me to share this with you tonight. And now I'm talking to the choir. But you know, even the choir has its mistakes. Okay, probably the worst mistake that there was. But what I'm trying to say tonight is this, that worship is something of paramount importance. Years ago, when a billionaire, Howard Hughes, died, his company's public relations director asked the casinos in Las Vegas, where Hughes had owned multiple casinos, to show him respect by giving him a minute of silence. For an uncomfortable 60 seconds, the casinos fell eerily silent. Then a pit boss looked at his watch, leaned forward and whispered, okay, roll the dice. He's had his minute. I wonder if sometimes we treat God as those gamblers in Las Vegas treated Howard Hughes. We interrupt our busy schedules once a week, rush into church, give God his hour, and then forget about him and get back to what we'd rather be doing. Or we hear stories like this, Daddy, I don't want to go to church. It's no fun. It's boring. Well, I've just lost interest. I don't get anything out of it. What does it do for me? What good does it do for me anyway? Have you ever heard something like that from your children or other Christians? Have you ever felt this way? Do you feel this way right now? There is a spiritual emptiness inside of you that you just can't fill. Is there something missing in your relationship with God? Do you feel like you're just going through the motions when you go to church? If you can see yourself right now in any of this, let me assure you that those feelings are not unique to you. They are experienced by most, and we don't want to be honest and admit it. If not all of us, from time to time. But I want to assure you tonight, there is a balm in Gilead. And that balm is worship in spirit and in truth. There is a way to overcome that, and it is through worshiping God in spirit and truth. When Jesus conversed with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, he revealed to her an eternal truth that every true worshiper of God must understand. He said, "But an hour is coming, and now is, that when the true worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such worshippers for Him." God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. I believe with all my heart that when we really come to understand what that really means, we will have found the antidote to the spiritual emptiness that we all have often felt in our lives. You see, God created us with the ultimate priority of worshiping Him. The chief end of men is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Or as John Piper modified it, our chief end is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. It's no accident that the longest book in the Bible is Psalms. It's all about praise and worshiping God. When we get to the end of the Bible, we see the saints and the angels in heaven falling on their faces and worshiping God. As in Revelation 4, 10 through 11, and 5, 18 through 14, and 7, 9 through 11. Since worship will be our ceaseless activity and greatest joy in heaven, we ought to practice it now. Here's a few definitions that I went and looked up as I was preparing this. John MacArthur said this: worship is our innermost being responding with praise for all that God is through our attitudes, actions, thoughts, and words, based on the truth of God as He has revealed Himself. Or he gave a shorter version, a simpler definition. Worship is all that we are reacting rightly to all that He is. William Temple said this: to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God and to devote the will to the purposes of God. Folk, I believe and I see worship as the inner attitude and feelings of awe, of reverence, of gratitude and love towards God, resulting from the realization of who he is and who we are. So what is worship? Worship, by the way, is not music. Sorry, worship team or band. You're not a band, you're a worship team. Let's start getting that right in this church. Worship is loving God. Worship is honoring God. Worship is knowing God for who He is and adoring Him, obeying Him, proclaiming Him as a way of life. Music is one way we express that adoration. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says this, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Therefore, all our life is to be orientated Godward, flooded with a sense of His majesty and glory. Jesus' words about worship to this unnamed Samaritan woman occur in the context of His witness to bring this woman to a saving faith. We might think that's not the right thing. How can worship be witnessing? Folk, in the right context to what Jesus was saying, I believe it is. It is talking about the priority of worship. But Jesus takes her implicit question, but whether the Samaritans worship or the Jews worship is correct. And he uses to zero in on the aim of the gospel, to turn the sinner into worshippers of God. Isn't that what the aim of the gospel is? So I believe we can use it for evangelism as well. I believe part of evangelism is worshiping. If we can't worship God, how can we share the aim? We want people to become worshippers of God. Therefore, folk, we need to bring it into our witness. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship. Since Jesus is seeking true worshippers who worship Him in spirit and truth, we should make it our priority to become such worshippers. Jesus tells this woman that a significant transition is about to take place. But now is coming and then and now is when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You see, Jesus' presence began this change from the old covenant to the new. Under the old way of worship, place was significant. All the Jewish males had to appear before God in Jerusalem for the three annual feasts. But in the new way, which Jesus initiated, He is the new temple. Believers are being built into a holy temple in the Lord. Therefore, where we gather to worship is secondary. But how and who we worship is our primary aim. And that's what we need to understand tonight. It's not what's in it for me. It's all about God. That's who we worship in. And that's what we need to take to heart, folk. It's not about me, what I can get out of it. So if you came in here to saying tonight, what am I going to get out of this? You've lost the plot. It's who you worship. Or must I ask a very pertinent question? When you're going through a hard time, who's on the throne of your worship? It's an anarch question. Think about it. Not about how, but it's who we're worshiping. Unbelievers, such as the Samaritan woman at this point, often mistakenly think that if they go through proper externals of worship, then things are okay between them and God. As long as they go to a church building and go through the weekly rituals, they figure that everything is fine. But they haven't dealt with God on a heart level. They haven't repented of their sins of thought, word, and deed. So Jesus tells us that it's not the external that matters as much as the internal heart attitude. It's that internal heart attitude that matters more. We must make it our priority to become true worshippers of God in spirit and in truth. God is seeking true worshippers. God created the world for His own glory. Everything, including salvation, had of His elect, and even the damnation of the wicked, will result in glory to God. So God now is seeking worshippers who will bring Him glory, not just for an hour on a Sunday. This is maybe a shocker, but for every day, through all their activities. We can't worship God properly on a Sunday if we're not worshiping Him throughout the week. That's an amen. It's an ain't no one. Because how many of us get up in the morning, do our quiet time, and then rush off? That actually really worshiping God for who He is. Folks, I believe that you need to look at this very carefully. We begin that process by repenting for our sins and trusting in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We grow in the process as we bring every thought, word, and deed under His Lordship. The fact that Jesus is seeking true worshippers means this is of utmost importance. It is our highest priority. Verse 24, Jesus says, but these true worshippers, and I put this word in, must worship in spirit and truth. It is a necessity. It isn't optional. It is essential. A.W. Pink points out that there are three musts in the book of John. You must be born again in John 3:7. The Son of Man must be lifted up in John 3:14. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. The first concerns the Spirit who imparts a new birth. The second concerns the Son who was lifted up on the cross as an atonement for our sins. The third concerns the Father, the object of our worship. And in order of importance, first you must be born again by trusting Christ's death for you. Only then can you worship God properly. So the first point is that God is seeking you as a true worshiper. If you haven't yet put your trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, start here. This is a point to start at, and I'm preaching to the guy. We've all given our lives to Jesus. If you have trusted in Christ and perhaps have drifted off course, come back to this as your priority. God wants you to become a true worshiper. True worshippers of the that the Father seeks, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus repeated this twice so that we don't miss it. Go with me to John 4, 23 and 24. But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshippers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. To be a true worshipper, we must worship both in spirit and truth. To worship in spirit without truth is the worship of false gods. To worship in truth without the Spirit is falling on dead orthodox. You may be doctrinally correct, but we are lifeless. And the Father must be the focus of our worship. We should worship the Father who is in spirit. Jesus emphasizes three times to the Samaritan woman that it is the Father that we are to worship. He explains to her that God is spirit. This is His essential nature. It means that God does not have a material body. He is not visible to the human eye. The fact that He is spirit means that He is not confined to one location at a time. He is omnipresent. He has existed as a spirit for all eternity before He created the material universe. When we are born again, we possess human spirits which can worship Him. Because He is the only omnipresent spirit, we can worship Him anywhere and know that He is there. So, folk, what am I saying to you today? You don't have to come to the church every day of the week to worship. Come, let's get into corporate worship on a Sunday where the presence of God can fall down on this place. True. But you know what? Your quiet time, spend that time in worship. Spend that time in worship and see what happens. See what happens. Because then you're preparing your heart to come into the very presence of God on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening. Folk, I believe if the entire church begins to pick this message up and begin to run with it, where they're worshiping God, focusing on God and not the mundane things that destroy you, like I was destroyed this week through mundane things. But if I had kept my eyes on Jesus, focused on Jesus, the glory of God, what He's done for me, that He stretched His arms out and died for me. If I had focused on the very God who gave His life for me, life would be so much better. We'd fill this place. You see, folk, that's worship in spirit. I'm not suggesting that Jesus intended for the Samaritan woman to grasp the mystery of the triune Godhead in this first encounter. But the Holy Spirit inspired these words so that we would come to worship God in His triune nature. True worshippers, true worship, worship the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. We should worship the Father in the Spirit. To worship in the Spirit is to worship from the heart or from within. It is opposed to formal, ceremonial, external worship by those whose hearts are not right with God. Thus, the most important factor in becoming a worshiper is to guard and cultivate your heart for God. I believe that worship in the Spirit is in part emotionally and felt. This is not to say that we should pump up our emotions with music or crowd fervor. Genuine emotion for God stems from focusing our minds on the truth of who He is and what He has done for us at the cross. You see, folk, I know we all go through trials and tribulations. How about focusing on Jesus? Focusing on Jesus. But if your worship never touches you, your emotions, something is wrong. It's like my love for my wife. My relationship is not built on my feelings, but rather my commitment to her. But when I think about all that she means to me, I feel love for her, and I ought to express that love in some outward manner that shows her that I love her. Folk, we should worship the Father in truth. Jesus has revealed Himself to us in His word of truth, and supremely in His Son, who is true. To worship God in truth means that we worship Him for all that He is in the majesty of His attributes as revealed in all of Scripture. We worship Him for His love. We also worship for His justice and righteousness. We worship Him for His kindness, but also for His strictness. We worship Him for sovereignty and for His grace. We worship Him when He gives, but also when He takes away. We worship Him for all His ways. Folk, I want to say this, that our worship goes beyond just the mundane rituals that you find in the church. It's all about Jesus. But you know what? Don't put the rituals aside. I believe what we're doing right now is an act of worship. And I'm sure Pastor Keith will back me up on this as well. But if you go home and you have the pastor for breakfast or supper, because you don't agree with what He's spoken, you're grieving the Spirit and you haven't worshipped God, there's a problem. If you come and accept from the table that is set before you, that is an act of worship. Probably of the highest form as well. Because you're coming before God and saying, yes, I am a sinner. I need the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Folk, ministry, whatever ministry you're doing, can be an act of worship. Evangelism, missions, whatever you're doing, can be an act of worship as well. We need to see that and realize that this is not a game. We're here to honor the one and only God through our worship, through our obedience, through our service. The Bible is our only guide for worship in truth. As I said, worship in spirit flows out of worship in truth. Feed your mind on the truth of God. Truth of God, and move your spirit to praise and love God. So God is seeking true worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to make it our priority to be true worshippers of God. If I'm not growing as a true worshipper, I'm not in line with what God is seeking to do in my life. As we've seen, personal worship is not restricted to a few minutes on a Sunday morning. Folk, giving to the support of Christian workers or helping fellow believers is a matter of worship. Godly behavior is a matter of worship. An attitude of praise and thanksgiving is a matter of worship. We cannot live self-centered, worldly lives all week long and then come to church on a Sunday and worship. If we're not growing as a worship church, we're not in line with what God is seeking to do in this body. Why do you come to church? Why do you come to church? I should have asked Conrad just to close the doors first, and I'll ask that question. Why do you come to church, folk? We come to worship God. And that's what we need to be putting out there. Your focus should be to give praise and honor and thanks with all of the saints, with all the fellow Christians, to God who gave His Son for you. So often people come to church and view the congregation views itself as an audience. They're watching the worship leader doing his thing, strutting his songs. Eh? I think it's a big concert. Then they listen to the pastor as he does his presentation and they cackle at a few jokes. But you know, the truth is that the congregation is actually the cast of actors. With the worship leaders and the pastors acting as prompters, giving clues from the wings. The real audience is God, and the entire presentation is offered to Him for His pleasure and glory. So, folk, are we going to come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday evening again, thinking, oh, this is it. It's a big show. If that's what we come into church, we've lost the plot. We come into church to give God a show, to worship God, to honor God, to exalt Him to His rightful place. Folk, I believe the aim of this church is to do just that. That I give. The issue is not did I get anything out of it, but did I give God a heartfelt praise and thanks and glory that He deserves. And folk, I believe that's the aim of this church. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. Our aim is to turn sinners into worshippers. That was Jesus' aim with that sinful Samaritan woman. He wanted to turn her into true worshippers. And folk, it's our duty to turn the other congregants into true worshippers. I leave that challenge with you tonight and pray, Father God, help us to see You in everything, to keep our eyes focused on You as we worship. As you take those songs that were sung, think of the words. What is that saying? Are you saying that to God from right deep within yourself? Or are you just another person that sits there to warm the pew to keep Pastor Keith from phoning you? Folk, we're here to worship God. It might be a down and under joke, but folk, the truth of the matter is, and it's serious, are we worshiping God in spirit and truth? Father, I pray tonight that You will help us. Pray tonight, Father, that You'll open our minds to see who You really are. that from this day forth we will not miss a day without worshiping you. And that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to prepare our hearts, that when we enter into this sanctuary, this place that we call church, this place where we can gather together as your church, that our hearts will be ripe and ready to worship you in spirit and in truth. Therefore, Father, I pray, lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen.